game span with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 28 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Of Inside the Locker Room. We call it the Hump Day edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904. If you'd like to jump in on the show, phone lines open the first 30 minutes for sure. Garth Klisman will join us at the bottom of the hour at 7:30, and we got Bill Cameron at 8:15. So I'd love to have your phone calls here in the first 30 minutes to help then get through. We always love to have the callers and whatever you guys want to talk about. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. If you want to email us, you can do that very easily at wimpandberry@yahoo.com. In Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. They made the 7 o'clock hour possible. Guys, always remember, if it doesn't have that little yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. Good morning, Chase. How are you, sir? You good? Good. All right. Good morning, Dad. How are you feeling this morning?
Okay. Real happy that Garth was able to be on our show. He's been real busy. I want to ask him a little bit about the football scheduling, to see if he's involved in that at all before we get to the big part, which is basketball scheduling and the basketball teams. But Garth will be on at the bottom of the hour. I think most of you who listen to our show know that he's a pretty learned guy as far as the SEC is concerned. Last night, had a bunch of teams play teams that they beat, except Clemson and South Carolina and Tennessee's. Clemson beat South Carolina at Clemson 68-61. Clemson's got a good team, not a great team, but a good team. And Tennessee beat a Louisville team that had lost their best point guard, although it didn't mean it meant a lot to him, but Louisville shoots a lot of threes. Tennessee knocked them off 83-62. So the really other games in the SEC teams played were games that they won big, and I'm not going to go over all of those games, no point in it, but all the other SEC teams won their games. Duke won big, and so we know pretty much who the best teams are right now. We've seen Arizona play, and Duke is very good, and Purdue and so forth. So in football, Jacksonville State in the Veterans Bowl, played down in Montgomery, was able to come back and beat Troy. Troy missed out a lot of opportunities to win, 17-13, and so that's sort of your scoreboard. I want to mention to you a couple of things. Alex Golish, the new football coach at Auburn, has done a couple of things. Number one, Tom Banks, who was sort of let out at Tennessee as defensive coordinator, is coming over there to work with the defense, partly not be the head defensive guy, of course. Other guy's dead, but he's coming there. They've hired a guy named Larry Scott, who's a friend of his, to be the tight ends coach. And then Darren Nix, who worked with Hugh Freeze, is coming to Alabama as the wide receivers coach. They hired a guy named Larry Porter to take his place, and Derek, a Nix kid, is not kid, but the coach, is coming over to Alabama as the wide receiver coach for the university. So that's a little bit different there. Thought I'd mention that. On the other news is Josh Ford, a big kid from Oklahoma State, is transferred to Alabama. I think he's a big wide receiver. I believe I'm right on that. And outside of that, everybody's waiting around to see about the game on Friday night with Alabama and Oklahoma, trying to find something to stir up. Alabama saw some things that Oklahoma had said or written or whatever. Got to get them going. I don't think it has anything to do with it at all. And, of course, the media continues to say that Oklahoma stole Alabama's signals, offensive signals, may have, may not have. I have no answer on that. They're trying to stir up as much mess as they can. I don't particularly care for the game myself because having to play in Oklahoma is going to be a pretty tough game, I think. A lot of talk about the Alabama quarterback, Alabama quarterbacks. For all you fans, this guy's head on his shoulders. He didn't come in on a turnip truck. Did he play perfectly? No. Does the offensive block perfectly? No. Did the backs get in the right spots at times? No. But he didn't come in on a turnip truck. So this kid knows what he's doing and whatever is best for him, whatever. A lot of talk, not a whole lot of really stuff to talk about until the game starts. So therefore, the media tries to do everything they possibly can to stir up stuff to get you to read the headlines that they have. When you read the article, it's not much to it. So that's about all I got.
Also, I think a pretty big hire for Ole Miss. They're hiring LSU's interim coach, Frank Wilson.
Yeah. He's been back and forth. He's been back and forth between LSU and Ole Miss.
Well, I'm just saying he's got good Louisiana ties. He and Pete Golding were together earlier at Texas San Antonio. So there's a guy that could probably pluck some guys out of LSU and also help them recruit in the state. I think he's really well known in the state of Louisiana, so probably pretty good hire. So Ole Miss and LSU gets a little – but he's going to coach, LSU in the bowl game. So I don't know. There's a little – probably a little – that game's going to be kind of spicy. Let's just put it that way when LSU and Ole Miss tangle up next year. And I believe the game is in Oxford. I had a game last night. Before the game, we had some officials from Hoover. One of the guys stopped me, said he listens to us every morning. I think he lives in Hoover, but he works at the Tuscaloosa Airport. And he said about the question I asked about launching, like jumping over the line it was 9/11 or something like that. But anyway, that you cannot launch on top. You can jump straight up, but you can't run or even right behind jump over or on top of line there. So he wanted to make sure that you and I had the rules there. So I appreciate him letting me know that because nobody ever did call me about that. So the ACC, Dad, I guess they've got South Carolina still plays Clemson. There's some built – so they did their schedules. Did you see this? They have 17 teams. 12 of them are playing a 9-game schedule and 5 are playing an 8-game schedule in the ACC next year.
Yeah,
is that good? How do you even do a tiebreaker on that when one team's playing 9 and one team's playing 8?
They're trying to figure out their tiebreaker now. It's we've gotten ourselves with these big leagues. We've overdone it. And when you think about it, I sit here thinking about Oregon being on the West Coast. they're in the Big Ten. When I try to do something to talk to our fans about stuff, it's just overbearing to me to see what they do, and it's a big mess, and also it's a big money mess because Barry, I've mentioned, once you get in that league, you got to bring all your teams over there. You got to fly your volleyball team, your basketball team, people over there, and it's very, very expensive to do what they're doing. But I guess, Barry, that we're going to 3 big leagues. I don't know before I pass away, which whatever. Maybe just 2 of the Big Ten SEC, the rest of them won't be around.
I guess 4 Big Ten, ACC, maybe. Big 12, and then
by name.
Yeah. Well, I think the Big 12 is a good league. ACC is a good league. SEC and Big Ten. I don't think you can get the two. I think four, which it's at now. No, but
you can't, but it's just a confusing situation. I think it's hard to figure out. I'm interested to have Garth on.
And also, I played at Brookwood last night. Mackinac, they play all the way out there at Hillcrest. So they're in. I love my guys at Para, but guys, if you're listening, Mackinac were supposed to be, it's called a competitive league. And so they were playing, it was basically a Northridge versus Bryant game last night in fourth grade. They tied. Chase, you don't tie in basketball. Tied? Well, they only have ties. No, we don't tie in basketball, Chase. Nah, we don't tie. And we want to say first team to score wins. We do not tie. That's like everybody's getting a trophy. So I'm going to call my guys out there. That's poor. Tied? We tied. Northridge and Bryant can't tie? You can have a winner. Give me a break. They tied. All right. I know none of you guys cared about that, but I had to get it off my chest. Tie? You can't tie. We're in a competitive league and we tied, Chase? Where's the juice box after the game? 2 minute truck, 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. Where it's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and all of your stuff. Give them a call today for the free estimate. 205-247-5050. Todd, 2 minute truck, movers who care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Wednesday morning. 21-year-old Joshua Nichols Barron has been arrested for opening fire at a Northport tattoo parlor over the weekend and a reportedly targeted shooting. The intended victim was not hit. Barron has now been charged with attempted murder. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage all throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Got some long-term road construction. We have it on 2059 eastbound, ongoing between Foster's and Joe Malisham. No delays. Also moving about 2059 westbound past McFarland Boulevard. You've got that road work there, so that's going to block out some lanes. But again,
time to get super sure. Not kind of sure, not pretty sure, not a little sure, but super sure. The seismic shift is coming. Super sure, coming soon.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours road.
Of the Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm up today, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 59. Becoming cloudy tonight, the chance of a shower after midnight, the low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy, occasional showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm during the day, the high 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 28 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Holiday.
Lines are wide open, 205-342-9904. Yellowwood pressure treated pine, great setup. It doesn't have the yellow tag on it. You don't want it. Yes, Dad.
I failed to mention and apologize that Alabama plays tonight against South Florida. Alabama's a 14.5-point favorite. South Florida's 6-4, I think it is. I've been 7-3. One other game that you might, if, I hope that you'll go to the game, but for some reason you don't. Probably the better of the other games around in the SEC would be Vanderbilt at Memphis. Memphis is having a bad year. They're not doing very well. They finally got a little bit better. And Vanderbilt has been, I've tried to write down my teams, the top eight and the bottom eight. And it's hard to tell because Vanderbilt hadn't played a real tough schedule, but they play much better. It used to be when I was coaching so hard to win there. But Vanderbilt and Memphis will play tonight on Cube on ESPN2. The Alabama game, if for some reason you don't get there, hopefully you can, will be on SEC Plus. So that game is tonight. And then Alabama has a couple more games before we get into the conference schedule.
Yeah, they take on Kennesaw State up Huntsville and then Yale. Yeah. They put the initial report out yesterday for Friday's game. Really no changes. LT Overton is out again. So now they played Georgia without him. Whoever they've gotten in his spot now should probably be pretty comfortable playing there. I thought the defense still played well, but is that a big loss again if LT, well, he's not playing. So LT Overton out again. Quavis and Danny Lewis are questionable. I would think they'll play if they're questionable at this point. Jim Miller is not on this list, so that means he'll be suited up and playing. So I don't have any thoughts about LTO missing him again for this Oklahoma game.
Yeah, I think this list that Barry's mentioned is really helpful for us because we're able to just say that somebody is not going to play. I go along with Barry. I think it's a tough game. Of course, I'm one of these guys that always worries about playing somebody else's place. But I think it'll be a tough game, and I hope Alabama plays to their potential, like a chance to win the game. Either team does, so they wouldn't be in the playoff. So we'll see what happens there. So if you want to call in and ask about anything, it's pretty much. Things are pretty much cut and dried. They're just going through it and getting on out there and getting ready to play. But the home field advantage, according to Kevin, that's not that big a home field advantage. He's been out. Some people never seen it to where it's real home field advantage. I think we'll see. Certainly, a lot of talk about the way the quarterback has played Alabama and this and that and so forth, and coach thinking about leaving, which they wore that out, and he made the statement early in the press conferences that he was not going anywhere. They were very satisfied. His wife, family was happy, and he was happy. He enjoyed the working relationship with everybody. So, they've beaten it to death. So we'll see. Anyway, if you have calls about anything else, we'll try answering for you.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think it's I think Coach DeBoer's going to probably sign a new contract. But yeah. In this game, I listen to shows and people say this is a big game for him and how the fan base views him and whether this was a successful season or not. And because they got beat so bad at the end of the year last year, then they played horrible in the bowl game against Michigan. They're in the playoff. There's only 12 teams that can win the national championship, and they're one of those 12. But if they go up to Norman, Oklahoma, and the offense is very bad again, there are going to be a lot of people screaming he needs to change coordinators. He and this guy are really tight. It's going to be a lot of howling. This lasts for a week or two, and then it'll settle down. But is this a big game for this coaching staff as far as going up there and playing well offensively? They don't need to go up there and get blown out, do they? Just as far as kind of calming the waters running. I'm not saying they should be rough, but you know how it is around here. It is. And we got people questioning the offense coordinator. Now, how big is this game for Kalen DeBoer and his staff?
Well, you just see how the switch is made from the very first time he ran the two plays against South Carolina to win the touchdown and the two-point conversion. Barry got on here, which I don't mean he got on here. He said the right thing. That, you know, the guy did a really good job of placing people in the right place, just run the right. You know, the guy knows what he's doing. When you have your running back, when you don't have enough running backs and your recruiting has not been great prior to this, and your running back that you have is not playing, I don't want to play you without my best running back. And that's what happened the last time they played. So, yeah, I think it's a big game because it's the next one. It's a crucial game. And the fans, the only place the fans affect you basically is in their attendance. You know, they can criticize you. They're going to criticize you and say how bad you are, how bad your team played, and what a sorry coach you are, and those kinds of things. People don't understand that players win games with the help of coaches. And coaches do good jobs of getting their team ready to play mentally, which is huge, which is mentally to physical, 3-1. And the second factor, folks, is that along with that, or even ahead of that, they get ready to play from a technical standpoint, what they're going to do with their pass rush, who they're going to do this with, who they're going to do that, the matchups they're going to have, those kinds of things. And then when you put them out there on the field, if the running back fumbles, he just fumbles.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about that. They didn't look very good against Georgia. If they go out there and play flat against Oklahoma, the coach's job is to get them ready to play, get the offense ready. If they go out there and they're not productive at all, then it's on both of them. It's on the players and the coaches. But they got to have them ready to go now. You can't just say, well, we gave you the play, and now you got to execute it.
I think you don't go in from your standpoint of thinking about stuff like that. I think you go in, you know, with a positive attitude and win the game and be ready to play. So I don't know. And there are times – it's kind of like a little bit, I've said this before about kids. Kids are kids, that it's holiday season. If something happens, you don't win. You've got some time off. People are not pushing you. Coaches are not pushing you. How bad do you want to play? I worried about that SEC basketball tournament. It's time to go down to the beach. And we knocked that in the head, and it's important. And so it's going to be a tough game. I think, Barry, it's a game. It's a point and a half difference. Just from a gambling standpoint. So
I think coaches, they got to have them ready. I love Nate Oates. I think Nate Oates has done a fabulous job at Alabama recruiting, coaching. But that answer he had the other night about why he didn't call timeout was not good. That cannot be your – what am I going to tell them to play hard, par harder? No, you're going to try to stop their run. You're going to try to dictate where the next shot's coming from. You might change your defense a little bit. Timeout can stop the run. So, I don't know. Maybe he meant that. I know he said it one time in the SEC tournament. So you have to make some coaching decisions throughout the game. I think that sometimes – will help your team. All right, we'll take the break here. Sorry, Tom Phillips, you guys jumped in late. I would have had to cut you. So we got to get to Garth Glissman, but be sure to call us right back. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Hi. Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Got some long-term road construction. We have it on 2059 eastbound, ongoing between Foster's and Joe Malisham. No delays. Also moving about 2059 westbound past McFarland Boulevard. You've got that road work there, so that's going to block out some lanes. But again,
when your house is lit up, go outside, snap a pic, and send it to us through the Tide 100.9 app. And let's light up West Alabama this Christmas.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the Locker Room, pressure treated pine from Great Southern Wood. You want to build a five-star backyard, you want to do that with Yellowwood. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer that is closest to you. Get right to the Yellowwood hotline. He's the associate commissioner with the SEC. He'll send Dad and I little nuggets every once in a while, and we can say it that like we're smart or not. Garth Glisman. Good morning, Garth. How are you, sir?
Hey, Garth.
Barry, Wimp, thanks for having me on.
I'm in
South Carolina this morning. I was at a game here last night, so I hope all is well in Birmingham. I told my wife and kids they ought to listen to this segment on their way to school, you know, because I miss them. Hope all is well in Birmingham and excited to get back home to my family.
Yeah, I saw the game last night. Before we start with basketball, and that's, I appreciate you so much you being on, for our listeners to get this out of the way, are you involved with the football scheduling? Is the football scheduling, you know, we get a lot of calls about this team has got a really easier schedule than the other team has. And any comments about the football schedule? Or do you stay out of that?
Well, my main responsibility is men's basketball. I'm taking on some other areas of responsibility at the office as time goes on. But what I can say about the football schedule, and I'm not directly involved with it, but in recent years, the SEC has started to really enhance the technology and analytics and processes that it's using to design the football schedule. And so, you know, starting with this year in particular, the SEC is using the same system essentially to develop its schedule for football that the NFL uses. It's the same system we use on the basketball side. All the pro sports league use it. So it's a best-in-class system. And my colleagues on the football side, Commissioner Sankey's very involved in the football side, Deputy Commissioner Charlie Hussey, my colleague Matt Evans, they're using best-in-class technology. I'm very familiar with the technology from my experience at the NBA, also using it here at the SEC for basketball. So I understand the natural inclination of fans is to have
good answers
that their fan is being treated fairly. But I can tell you that the SEC for football and basketball is using best-in-class technology. Fans should have confidence that it's on the level. The challenge is, Wimp, that even when the SEC expands to 9 football games next year, you're still a 16-team league. And the decision was made to have essentially a one-league structure rather than a divisional structure. So if you take the NFL, for example, each division, not every NFL team has an equal schedule because you're playing different out-of-division opponents, but at least you're playing every divisional opponent twice. And so you have that nexus of competition among divisional opponents to try to crown a champion. What's happened in recent years in college athletics is that the conferences have expanded. 16 in the case of the SEC.
Yeah, we talked about
18,
that. Yeah,
Big right. 10. But the number of conference games has stayed relatively flat, and there has not been a move to a divisional format. And there's reasons for that. The conferences wanted to be able to play different schools so that a school like Alabama could experience the pageantry of Texas, and the fans of Texas can experience the pageantry of Florida, and so on. So they didn't want to get stuck in this rut of playing the same divisional opponent every year. The downside to that is when you have a 16-team league or an 18-team league in the case of the Big Ten, and you're only playing 8 or 9 league games, is you're going to have inequities in the schedule, regardless of whether you're using best-in-class technology, which the SEC most certainly is. So it's a structural challenge. It'll get better next year when the SEC moves to 9 games, because that gives one more data point to try to equal things out. But that is one of the inherent challenges in college athletics, is there's such a – understandably, there's a desire to preserve tradition and other fan elements. But if you don't have that divisional format, it becomes really difficult to design equitable schedules for every team.
Well, Barry and I appreciate that so much, because I think that's well said, because we get a lot of calls. He's in the studio a lot, and we get a lot of calls about that. And you've explained that, you know, it's a pro way to do it, and you've done it over you know what you're doing. Sometimes it doesn't please everybody, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, Garth, let me ask you this. As far as maybe tweaking the tiebreaker system, that would be because everybody doesn't have the same schedule. And when you look at it, I'm sure the ACC was scared to death when they had that championship game. If Duke won and Notre Dame goes in over Miami in the four highest rated, or however that went, where two non-power fives got in and the ACC wasn't. Is there a way maybe? I think that has to be tweaked if you're not going to go to divisions, to where you make sure you get your highest ranked teams in championships, especially in football, but even in basketball, the seeding, you know, you get a double bye if you get a certain seed there. Do y'all look at those tiebreakers there to try to maybe find out a better way to do that, to make sure your best teams are actually playing in the championship?
Well, it's a great question. It's obviously something we do think about, and it raises some other structural challenges, because you like to think that the tiebreakers should honor conference record, right? That seems to be the most equitable way to crown a conference champion. But if your end goal is maybe to optimize the conference's opportunities in the postseason playoff, you mentioned the ACC example, well, then maybe you ought to look at a different tiebreaker, like who's your highest ranked team, which, again, to use your ACC example, that would have been Miami this year. Now, Miami made it in as it is, but that may not necessarily be the most fair way to do it relative to what happened in conference play. So, again, you're talking about some of the structural challenges in college athletics, where we have this system where we play in football 3 non-conference games that matter for postseason purposes. They don't matter for purposes of crowning your conference champion. And that at times can, you know, those data points can be in tension with one another. And as I've spent more time in college athletics, obviously I have a pro sports background, I've become increasingly sympathetic to decision makers in college athletics, because there are certain structural challenges and traditions that need to be preserved in college athletics that don't exist in pro sports. And because of those structural challenges and the traditions that fans insist continue, and we all want them to continue, it just makes for something less than a perfect system in terms of whether it's crowning a conference champion, seeding teams in the tournament playoff. Another challenging factor is just the volume of teams. The NFL has 32 teams. You look at the number of teams that play major college football, it's more than double that number. And the number of teams that play major college basketball is even larger. So part of the beauty of college athletics is some of its imperfections. And if you have a real analytical mind, there are certain aspects of college athletics that can be frustrating at times. But that's also part of the beauty of it, and the fact that it truly is a national endeavor with, as I said, far more teams than you have in the major pro sports leagues. And so it becomes more difficult to whittle down the number of teams for postseason championship purposes.
Yep.
Well, the reason we had you on is for basketball, and I need to get those football questions. Boy, did you answer them well.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't prepared for those. So you got me kind of just on the fly there.
I'm sorry.
Hopefully I answered them okay.
No, you've answered them great. With 18-game schedule, each team playing three people, Alabama, Tennessee, Auburn and Mississippi State, and Auburn, is playing Georgia, Ole Miss, and Alabama. Back when I was doing it, we played everybody twice, which makes it different. I think the league has played a little bit tougher schedule, non-conference, and I think they're going to still have a great kind of league that they've had in basketball. I'll leave it at that and let you just comment. Will you stay at three teams you play twice, you think? Or is that the way that things go? Just go over the basketball for us, please. Then Barry can ask whatever he wants to. Go ahead.
We're at an 18-game schedule again in the SEC. You mentioned, Wimp, the quality of non-conference games that SEC teams have played this year. And I think all of our teams should be commended for the way they've challenged themselves in non-conference play. The narrative, obviously, last year was the best season for any conference in the history of men's college basketball. Yep. The numbers suggest that is, in fact, true. There's never been any season for any conference like the SEC had last year. So the comparisons to last year are tough. But the good news is that there's still plenty of reason for SEC fans to be excited about SEC basketball this year. And sure. I mentioned some of the analytics in football and basketball. So the analytics would tell you that we're still the top-ranked conference in basketball again this season, followed by the Big Ten and the Big 12. Because non-conference games are close to wrapping up here in the next 10 days, and given our margin in terms of the conference rankings, we're likely to finish the season again as the top-ranked conference in the country. And that's a little different than the public narrative because we don't have a team in the at the very top like we did last year. I actually checked the net rankings on this date last year, and we actually had three of the top five teams at this time last year. Well, we don't have a top five team this year, but what we do have is the deepest and most competitive conference from top to bottom. Six teams in the top 25, nine teams in the top 35 of the net. The so-called bottom tier, if you want to, I even hate to use the word bottom, but you got to refer to it some way. That group of teams for us is much stronger than any other conference. I might even say there is no bottom to the SEC. And so when you add all that up, it is objectively true to say that we're the deepest and most competitive conference. So do the numbers stack up compared to last year's historic season? No, but that's an impossible comparison.
Sure. Well,
we
want
to be the best conference.
That anyway.
Yeah, we want to be the best conference in college basketball every year. We're on track to do that again this year. Another factor, I looked at the rankings at this point last year, Florida was the third-ranked SEC team at this point last season. Florida, of course, goes on to win the national championship. Point being, you never know which SEC team will improve the most as the season progresses. Looking back to last year, we were the beneficiaries of teams like Florida, Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee. They all returned a core group of players. And that wasn't the case this year. Most of our teams have mostly new rosters, and so it's going to take some time to see which teams come together and become
the transfer. The transfer portal is a killer in that.
Well, certainly different than when you coached.
When we had you on last time, we talked about, you know, the playoffs are starting now. It's, what, third week of December. The championship game's, what, I don't know, January 20th, something like that. Where we, you know, let's see how we can make basketball where people want to watch it in November and December. I think these NIL tournaments in Vegas and all have really helped do that, to be quite honest with you, Garth. The matchups that you get now are unbelievable. These coaches would not be playing these tough schedules or as many games as they are now, but I think they have to, since college sports has changed, they kind of have to change their way of thinking of scheduling so they can go out to Vegas and put $1 million in their NIL fund to pay these players, then they're willing to do that. But I think it's kind of helped the interest of college basketball because, I mean, there are big games on every night. So I know I've been watching a lot more college basketball here in November and December than normally you do because the problem with the portal is there's such a gap now between maybe the SEC teams and the Texas San Antonio's where those games are not even worth watching anymore. There's never upsets in those games anymore. And so I think these NIL deals have maybe helped grow the interest of basketball in November and December.
Well, Barry, you're exactly right. A reporter from CBS Sports, Matt Norlander, actually did an analysis. And according to his research, we've had more ranked-on-ranked non-conference games this season than at any point in recorded history in men's college basketball. So it's not just your imagination that there are more, you know, big games in college basketball this year. There's actually data to support it. And I think you've touched on all of the reasons why. Number one, I think it's embedded in the ethos of SEC schools to go out and challenge themselves, play big non-conference games. SEC basketball coaches also understand how much passion there is around football. So if you want to generate any interest in basketball early in the season, you have to play big games. You're not going to generate interest doing it playing by game. So that's one big factor. Number two is the NIL piece that you mentioned, Barry, and that some of these neutral site events do offer schools an opportunity to go out and supplement their NIL budgets, which has a lot of value in the transfer portal era. And then third, and I've mentioned this point before on your show, is I think that college basketball really gets it right in terms of the net rankings and what the analytics incentivize in terms of playing difficult non-conference games. We don't have some of the same problems in men's college basketball that we do in football, where there's this debate about should you avoid tough non-conference games to avoid a loss for purposes of postseason selection. You see teams like Alabama, Auburn, that consistently go out and play rigorous non-conference schedules, and it doesn't hurt them because of the way the net rankings are structured. It actually helps them. You look at a team like Florida, defending national champion, they have four losses. They're 6-4 right now, but they're a top 15 team in the net ranking in college basketball. The equivalent record in football, if you had, you know, whatever the equivalent would be of four basketball losses at this point in the football season, you know, that team would be excluded from postseason consideration. So there's a culture in college basketball of going out and playing those tough games early in the season, and it doesn't preclude you from postseason consideration. All those factors, Barry, contribute to a really compelling non-conference slate of games. And then also this year, we implemented a rule change with respect to exhibition games. So you were starting to see some high-profile exhibition games beginning in mid-October. Remember, in mid-October, there were some really quality exhibition games in Birmingham, but both Alabama and Auburn played really high-quality exhibition games in Birmingham. Tennessee hosted Duke. I think you're going to see even more high-quality exhibition games in future years. So starting in mid-October all the way through, call it Christmas, for the foreseeable future, I think you're going to see really high-quality men's college basketball games sprinkled in throughout the calendar. And I say sprinkled in because we tell our coaches, we're not trying to go compete head on with an SEC football Saturday. We're not trying to compete head on, for the most part, with NFL games. Let's find windows when fans aren't watching football to bring him in and watch SEC men's basketball. And the viewership numbers have been very strong. 2 million people watched Kentucky's win over Indiana last Saturday. 1.3 million people watched the Alabama-Arizona game late Saturday night. Arkansas played a game on Thanksgiving Day against Duke right after an NFL game. It was the most watched college basketball game in over 30 years. Granted, that number was inflated in part because it came on the heels of an NFL game, and that's the kind of the trick to really juice your numbers is to play right after an NFL game. People don't change the channel,
yeah.
So your numbers are really high. But interest, for all of the frustrations that fans and coaches may have with the transfer portal and NIL era of college athletics, and I certainly sympathize with those frustrations, but setting all that aside, interest in football and college basketball is extremely high.
Yeah, no doubt that.
Barry, and I want to thank you for being on. I tell you what, this segment is needs to be replayed. But we appreciate it so much. I know you were at the Clemson game last night, and we want to thank you. Hope you have a great Christmas. Your family okay?
Well, I hope they were listening to this segment on the way to school.
Well, maybe they learned.
Get
something.
Home to them.
Yeah,
well, we appreciate so much you being.
I've been on the road a lot, and you know, it's a busy time of year, but a fun time of year. And I appreciate you guys having me on. I really enjoyed getting to know you, and Birmingham's been so good to our family. We love Birmingham, and hope you and all of your listeners have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Garth. Appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Garth. Great job.
All right, there's Garth Glissman knocking it out of the park once again. He's a lot smarter than we are, Chase. Do you realize that, Chase? He's a lot smarter. Yeah, they think about all those things. Like, let's play that game right after the NFL game, you know. Let's don't try to compete with football instead of, but put some big games in the week, you know, and that's made me. I've watched a lot more college basketball this November and December than I normally do because of the great matchups, and a lot of it has to do because these coaches want that money to pay the players. So these players. What a great time to be a college athlete at the SEC level where you're making money you'll probably never make, and you just get to kind of hang out and chase girls and go to class or go to very little class. Most of their class are online, so I don't know. All right, we want to thank Yellowwood, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. Always remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, things are starting to volumize a bit more at the usual spots. We've got Lurleen Wallace at McFarland 69 intersection. That's getting a little slower for you. Also, filling in on 43 a little more on the southbound lanes to McFarland. Again, that is pretty much basic.
For you, contact Courtney Watt at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, co@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Isaac Lohengrin.
In the NBA Cup Championship game on Tuesday night, the New York Knicks defeated the San Antonio Spurs 124-113. Spurs led 94-89 after three quarters, but the Knicks outscored them in the fourth quarter 35-19. OG Anunoby led the Knicks with 28 points. The NBA concluded Tuesday that officials made three incorrect calls in the final 2 minutes of Denver's overtime win on Monday against Houston. All three incorrect calls went Denver's way, prompting Rockets head coach Ime Udoka to save the officials.
It's poorly officiated game I've seen in a long time. Two have no business being out there, and the crew chief is acting starstruck.
Notre Dame junior running back Jerry.
Call at 205-339-7361 or visit us at 1600 Lurleen B. Wallace Boulevard, Northport, Alabama. Enroll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up today, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 59. Becoming cloudy tonight, the chance of a shower after midnight, the low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy, occasional showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm during the day, the high 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 30 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904 is the phone number. Before we dig too deep in this hour, we want to talk a little Tuscaloosa Toyota. Who better to do that with than Justin Troll? Good morning, Justin. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
Okay. Doing good. Doing good.
Tell us about what's going on with Tuscaloosa Toyota.
Right now we're in the middle of December, and you know, Barry, like I've been telling y'all every week, we are in the middle of some super big savings, tons of inventory, special financing, some rates that you'd never see, like Tacomas. They've got dealer cash, holiday cash, special finance, and I'm actually selling one this morning. Unbelievable deals, plenty of inventory. You know, you always, or somebody would always ask, hey, when's the best time to buy a vehicle? If you're anywhere close, now is the time where you can capitalize on all the money, all the interest rates, all the savings are going on right now. And as always, you can find it and look at all of that inventory right there at TuscaloosaToyota.com.
Talk about what you got on the lot here for Christmas. People a lot of times like to get things for Christmas. You guys got a stock lot out there?
Absolutely. A lot different than it's been the last. You know, we had the COVID deal. Lots were kind of scarce. You had to get something before it got there. Now it's totally different. There is inventory of every single model right there in stock. And I'll tell you this, David, yesterday we get a lot of stuff off lease from Toyota. When people lease and Toyota buys back and low mileage cars, one owner cars, David sat down yesterday. You will see 50 something cars that come off lease. Very nice, used cars, slightly used. Those 50 something cars will start hitting our lot within the next week. So, and we've already got like 70 something cars on our used lot right now, so that'll go well over into the 100 range, and then you've got the new car inventory. And when you have new car inventory like we do, you get a lot of really nice trade-ins. So, like I said, jump online, check that stuff out before you come, TuscaloosaToyota.com.
Yeah, that.
No, it's great. Everything's good for me. I appreciate Tuscaloosa Toyota.
If there's a particular, you use the word used, I'm going to call it pre-owned. Doesn't that sound better, Justin, pre-owned than used?
Yeah, pre-owned.
A certain type of pre-owned car I'm looking for. Can I call you up and say, hey, this is kind of what I'm looking for. It needs to kind of be in this mile or this range. I can't really afford a new one, but this is kind of what I'm looking for. You would keep your eye out and let them know when you can find something like that.
Absolutely. I'm doing that right now with a few people, you know, just no rush, wanting to get something kind of specific. We can do that. That's no problem. Like I said, we're fixing to get 50-something cars. It's probably going to fill some orders for people that are what they've been looking for. So, Yeah, all of that stuff is, and like I said, you can go the easiest site to navigate on our website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. Right there at the search bar, just type in if you're on there, and we don't just sell Toyotas, we service all of these vehicles, put lifetime warranties on there for all of these used cars. Just jump on there and type in what you're looking for, and more than likely it'll pop up. If not, just give us a call and we'll make it happen.
Yeah, and let's be honest though. It's nice to sit in a brand new car. And you guys got a lot of deals during December. Always look on there in the low APR and then the holiday cash back that you can get. So it is also a good time if you want to get that brand new car and you get in there and nothing better look down there. It's got a 10 on it, like 10 miles. You're going to put all the wear and tear on the car. It is a great time in December to do that as well, right, Justin?
Yeah, absolutely. And to know you're buying the best product and are buying into the standard that we set, not just the product of Tuscaloosa Toyota or Toyota in general, knowing that that is the best. You can look at consumer reports. They just come out, the most reliable vehicle, and it's always like this, is the Toyota product. And that's why they hold resale value. If you look at consumer and you look at the things that matter, that's what it is. And then you get the service department, and everybody knows that our service department by far and away is the best in town. It's not nothing anywhere close to it. Running 150-something cars. Now during the holidays where there's people off, you should see it, Barry, in our service department. Just oodles of people in there, school teachers out for school, just students are out there. It is. We're probably running somewhere closer to that 175 a day through our service department, and that's how we take care of the customer.
All right, Justin, let's talk a little football real quick before we let you go. I mean, Alabama travels to Oklahoma. I mean, you live in Gordo. You got Byron Langdon out there. I mean, Byron, if you look on Facebook, he knows everything about football, what the coaches should do. You guys got a lot of coaches out there in Gordo. If you're not, look on Facebook, man. They could tell you exactly what they should have done after the play. What are your thoughts?
Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? Now, listen, this is what's crazy. When Alabama wins Friday, okay, when they go out there and they win and they got most of their guy back on offense, you know the rhythm's been affected. So they go out and they win, you won't hear a peep from the Facebook coaches. That's always fun, you know, and funny to me when I watch it. When they win, there's no credit, and they're always hammering the I guess we're stuck back in 10 years ago thinking Jeremy Pruitt's going. I think the defensive coordinator for Alabama's done a great job. I mean, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I mean, they might go to Oklahoma and lose. You could lose that game as well. Dad and I are still trying to figure out why they're favored. They're not playing that well, but I mean, I'm not going to be the Facebook coach and tell them everything, you know, the worst offense in Alabama history and all the different things that we want. They are in the playoffs, so there is only 12 teams I know that can win the national championship. They are one of those 12. So you sound like you think Alabama's going out there and winning.
Yeah, I do think Alabama's going to go out there and win. We'll talk about it next week. I'm not being a homer on that. I think that just from talking to people that I know and I knew 2 weeks ago when I talked to somebody very well connected that the Auburn game was going to be a struggle, which I thought they played pretty well for what was going on, because I'm telling you that a lot of the guys on the offensive side of the ball have not been practicing during the week. They've been kind of just getting by with these guys that have been hurt, and I think that you're going to see a lot of those guys be at close to full strength, maybe not right at full strength, but they're going to have a lot of guys that will be back on offense, and one of the major ones, you know, is the tight end, and they've missed him. He's very sound in their offense, run blocking, pass catching. They're going to get a lot of those guys back, and I think the offense is going to do well, and it's hard to beat somebody twice. We found that out last week.
Yeah. All right, Justin, tell everybody where they can find you guys. They want to get involved with Tuscaloosa Toyota.
Let's do it right there, TuscaloosaToyota.com, where you can find everything you're looking for. Just jump on the site or call us. At 205-553-3325.
Thank you, Justin.
Thanks, Justin.
Hey, you guys have a great week.
Talk to you. We will talk to you.
We'll figure it out.
We won't be. We may have to do it earlier next week because we're off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thank you, Justin.
Let's do it.
All right. Hey, in Alabama Pro Wash, they know you're proud of your property. But that dirt, mold, and grime on your brick, stucco, or siding makes even the most well-cared-for home or business seem neglected. Their service includes residential and commercial exterior cleaning, low-pressure soft washing, window cleaning, shingle restoration, concrete cleaning, and drone service to clean those hard areas that you just can't reach. So they got a drone to go up there and clean those for you as well. Estimates are free. Ain't nothing free in this world, but these estimates are free. They'll come out, look exactly what you need, and they'll give you a price. They're 205-799-9069. Expect quality exterior cleaning service to your home or business when you call Alabama Pro Wash. Once again, 205-799-9069. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Pretty light travels for the morning commute on your hump day Wednesday. Now we do have a few areas there, a little bunched up. If you're traveling on McFarland at Lurline Wallace, that intersection pretty much has the intersection delays. Also,
or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representation made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide today. It's daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. For more information, visit championslane.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. As Alabama women's basketball prepares for Tuesday night's game against Sam Houston, here are thoughts from the head coach of the Crimson Tide, Christy Curry.
And speaking of a challenge, Joe, what's it like as well getting ready for a stretch like this when you're playing in back-to-back days? I imagine a lot of it is trying to get your team ready for what's coming up in the postseason, especially the SEC tournament. But what do you like about having something like this at this time of the year?
Yeah, I love back-to-back days. I think it helps prepare you for what's ahead in March. Short turnaround, a short reset, short-term memory, and I'm just excited for us. Just honestly, as a coach, I think there's certain moments that you want to sit back and, you know, see how you prepare, see how our staff handles, see if there's some adjustments we need to make when we get to March. You certainly want to see your team and how our leadership group and how everyone's going to respond, and the things that we can grow and learn from this time of year are definitely going to impact later in the season.
I'll have more in a moment.
Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane. Opening 4 hours before each home game, this fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide!
If you missed last night's edition of Hey Coach, as well as the CFP preview show, catch it on demand on the Alabama Insider podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside Lager. Why does that fight song make you want to do your hands like you're instructing the band on how to play it every time that song comes up on Wednesday? I've got my hands up instructing Chase to play the Auburn fight song. All right, get right to the Yellowwood hotline. He's ESPN 106.7, The Drive, down in Auburn, Opelika. covers the Auburn Tigers and all things SEC. Joins us every Wednesday, Bill Cameron. Good morning, Bill. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Bill.
Barry?
Merry Christmas.
What up?
Bill, I did know if you knew anything much about, Alex Golish has made some moves on the staff. I know where he brought in Tom Banks from Tennessee. Any thoughts on his? I think Barry heard his press conference, thought it was really good. Anything overall about what he's doing right now?
The staff looks pretty impressive. I mean, you've got three guys that were defensive coordinators at the SEC last year on that staff with DJ Durkin. Obviously, you mentioned Tom Banks and then Coleman Hustler, who was at Alabama. But he was the defensive coordinator at Mississippi State the last couple of years. And then they retained the defensive line coach who had been working with Coach Durkin and I thought was one of the better young coaches that we've seen at Auburn for a while, bringing in DeMarcus Van Dyke as the other defensive coach. It's a staff where DJ has worked with most of those guys, and I think that's a good sign when you let your coordinators have people that they've worked with. On the offensive side, the staff is primarily Alex Golish's offensive guys from the last couple of years, the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, an offensive line coach, and then Cody Burns, who was pretty much Alex Golish's right-hand man and co-offensive coordinator. So it's guys that understand what Alex wants as an offense that have worked together. So sometimes fans want an all-star staff, but if you're putting together a whole new staff and they haven't worked together, don't have much of a background together, that can be a little tough. So I think it looks like a good staff, at least here early on.
Derek Nix is coming to Alabama to be the receivers coach. Auburn's loaded with receivers. I'm sure there'll be some conversations in those rooms of whether any of those big-time guys will hit the portal. I hadn't seen anything. I mean, I know they've had some guys hit the portal, say they're going to hit the portal whenever it opens January the 2nd. But just your thoughts about Coach Nix and his ability to recruit and his ability also to maybe is he connected with a lot of those Auburn guys? Will some of them try to follow him here? That would probably be a worry to me if I was an Auburn fan.
Yeah, I would think so. Look, Derek, I thought did an outstanding job. I mean, he had the reputation of, everybody knew he was a good recruiter. And then you got a chance to see there in the last couple of ball games when he was the offensive coordinator that he's a pretty good play caller as well. But I think he'll be a really good addition. He was a receivers coach at Ole Miss under Lane. He, long time Ole Miss assistant after an outstanding career as a running back at Southern Miss coming out of Atala. I mean, great guy. There's no question about it. He is a really good person and an outstanding coach. Auburn's already had a few receivers, Horatio Fields, but I think the biggest name thus far from the receivers who's announced that he's going into the portal has got to be Malcolm Simmons. And I saw where C.D. Morgan posted on social media, about getting back together with his old high school teammate. And that's something that I guess definitely could be a possibility. Boy, Malcolm was really outstanding in his last couple of ball games. He had close to 300 yards receiving in the last two games.
why is he putting his name in the transfer portal? Because he's done so well. Looking for more money?
I'm sure everybody wants to get the best deal that they can. Sure. Remember, there was a little alter or instance back in the preseason where Malcolm had a little bit of a problem there with some concern as to whether he'd be able to play this year, and then he really didn't get the ball an awful lot early on. So yeah, I think it's something where he wants to see what he can get, and I don't blame him these days. I mean, I don't like it, but I don't blame him one bit. Letting players see what they can get. And boy, his value, I can't imagine, would be much higher than it is here coming off these last two ball games, especially the last one there against Alabama. But the other thing that we've talked about on our show is that, you know, Alex Golish and his staff are coming in, and he has they have their evaluations now of these players, and they're going to have their value set. And look, Auburn, I think Auburn's more than competitive as far as what they have to be able to spend on NIL, but it's this staff's now valuation of what these players are worth. And if a player was getting a certain amount last year and this staff feels like, well, that's either at their value or maybe a little more than their value is, I can see where players would want to check out and see exactly what they can get, because it's, you know, it's not Hugh Freeze and his staff that put the numbers on these guys. So, you know, some of the players may not be looking at getting as much more or as much as they did a year ago.
Yeah. Where does Stephen Pearl, Auburn basketball, they got a player's going to be out for the year now, one of their big kids. Tell us a little bit about that, Bill.
Yeah, I don't really know exactly what the situation is. It's one of those medical things where, you know, if the player wants to stay, we will know. It's Emeka Apuram, who really hasn't played an awful lot, but I think I've mentioned a couple of times here with y'all that, you know, he's a 7-footer, and that's something you can't go out there and coach somebody to be 7 feet tall. So that's going to take away another guy in an area where Auburn has been susceptible, and I think is a real concern for them when they face big front lines like they're going to against Purdue on Saturday evening. Keyshawn Murphy has played well when he's been able to be healthy and stay out of foul trouble, but their next biggest player inside is what would be a couple of freshmen, and Philip Jovich, who is 6'8", coming over from Eastern Europe, and then Sebastian Williams Adams, who I, you know, really liked what we see from him. But again, both those guys are freshmen, so they really don't have much depth at all inside. So I think that's got a problem with a poor amount for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Losing this kid has really cost it to them. I think it's not only you talk about the freshman being the other guys, it's going to be, and without me being negative, it's going to be a tough year. I think do you feel like that the home court advantage will continue to be there?
Auburn's going to really need that. I agree. They're still struggling some defensively. You know, last year they could take chances out on the perimeter because they knew they had the guys there at the rim. They don't have that situation this year. Their best defensive perimeter player is Kevin Overton, the transfer from Texas Tech, and he was banged up a little bit in the Chattanooga game. He wasn't practiced, we understand, yesterday. But you look at the lack of depth and experience that they have both at the point and they're inside, and some of the defensive numbers, which aren't anything like what you expect from Auburn. It could be tough. They're gonna have to take advantage of that home court advantage, to have a successful season.
Is Bruce staying out of it pretty much, or is he? I've heard him once or twice on the television. Is he staying out of it, away from things, or is he trying to help?
He hasn't been obviously involved. I mean, when the opportunities are there to watch practice and everything, he hasn't really been around. I'm sure Steven and is talking to his dad about some of the things, but it hasn't been a situation where you've seen Bruce over there, you know, really getting involved and stepping in. So thus far, at least on the surface, it doesn't appear that he is.
I don't know if this is even, you probably don't even know, but whenever Hugh Freeze is who I'm referring to, you coach at a place there, you doesn't work out, you lose your job there. I think it's hard to stay in that community. The hurt that you hear all the time. Maybe it's okay. Hugh Freeze is okay with it. You know what Hugh Freeze's plans are? Does he want to continue coaching? Maybe go be a coordinator somewhere? Will he stay in the Auburn area till he figures out his next move? What are you hearing about Coach Freeze?
Yeah, I haven't really, you know, I haven't really seen him out or heard that he's been out and about, which I understand that.
Yeah.
But, he's told a couple of people that he still wants to coach. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, heard a couple of rumbles before Memphis filled their position that he might be a candidate there. So I don't think he's ready to give it up yet. But yeah, I can understand where he wouldn't be quite as prominently out in the public, you know, after a situation like this.
Yeah.
Anything on the baseball front? I know it's not baseball season, but is anything going on at all there?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a really successful fall. I mean, they've got a few arms that they really feel like have opportunities to help them. They've got enough guys coming back with and another outstanding class. Man, they've got a couple of freshmen. I mean, big guys. Look, they remind me of old LSU or Mississippi State players. I mean, you know, guys that are 6'3", 220 that can really swing it to go along with the freshmen that they had from last year. So I think Butch feels like this is the most talented team that he's had. So I think the excitement is pretty much there. And from what I understand, I mean they've sold a bunch, if not sold out, of the season tickets already.
Nice. Anything else? Big plans for Christmas, Bill? What you got planned?
Having the kids and grandkids all here at the house. I mean,
do you shop or do you let your wife handle all that?
Well, I shop for her.
But I'm talking about for everybody else.
I do some, but I mean, we sort of decide since the grandkids especially are little, the oldest one's three. It's just come up with some ideas for fun things for them. But I'm telling you, I've become much more of an online guy.
You're that lot
of wear and tear.
Yeah, Amazon. Just I think my wife every day we got boxes at the house.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
hey, that beats the traffic though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
As long as they get it to you to the right address, that's the most frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. They talk about these porch pirates that come out and steal your packages.
Well, that's why you got to have one of those video doorbell yeah. things, which we've yeah. got. So
yeah, there you go. All right, Bill, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, it's The Drive every afternoon on ESPN 106.7. You can check us online at ESPNAU.com or go to RadioAlabama.net. Join us live or download the podcast.
All right, you've done such a good job. We're going to take next Wednesday off with you. So enjoy your
that
Christmas.
Sounds good. So are we. So that's great. We'll sleep in.
There you go. Enjoy the Christmas, Bill. Thank you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys.
All right, let's tell them about Bryant Bank, and we'll get to break.
Well, Bryant Bank, outstanding. A bank a bank that'll take good care of your personal and business accounts. They'll do a good job of helping you in problems that you have as you maneuver that bank and answer any questions that you might have as you go through that. They'll be interested in the community around the bank. They'll be interested in you as a person. I think that you'll find Bryant Bank is outstanding, and I've been with them for a long, long time. I think it's the best bank around. So go by Bryant Bank, tell them you heard on Inside the Locker Room, and I think you'll be well pleased.
All right, we'll take a break. Your phone lines are open 205-342-9904.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Pretty light travels for the morning commute on your hump day Wednesday. Now we do have a few areas there, a little bunched up. If you're traveling on McFarland at Lurleen Wallace, that intersection pretty much has the intersection delays. Also
6,500 off select Nissan models only at Townsend Nissan. Lifetime warranty, free oil changes, and a pre-approval with no impact to your credit. TownsendNissan.com.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours road
at Chow's Country Buffet. And don't forget to save room for their delicious desserts. Happy holidays, and thank you for choosing them. Visit Chow's at 1100 Skyland Boulevard.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up today, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 59. Becoming cloudy tonight, the chance of a shower after midnight, the low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy, occasional showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm during the day, the high 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 34 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room, the Vinegar Tip right up. Now we got Philip, Tom, and Cowboy holding. Just hang on, you three. As soon as we get this Vinegar Tip, we'll get right to each one of you. This Vinegar Tip is brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500.
Well, we can't just give up, you know, dessert stuff and write up. You know, what you put in your mixture and all, it's too much for the ladies to try to write, but keep up with. So we just give you a couple of things that'll helpful to you. If you'll add a teaspoon, a spoonful of vinegar into a chocolate cake, it will add a lot of taste to it and also a lot of extra moisture to it. So when you're making a lot of chocolate cake, you might want to think about that. I think it's a good tip. And then one other one, if you'll add a drop of vinegar to the icing on a cake that you've already baked and you've got the icing, fixing to put the icing on there, you'll find that it'll keep the icing very white, if it is white colored, and shiny. And so those two factors, I think, are, you know, I talked a little bit as much as I can about cooking or food this day and time, and there's too much to give recipes, so. Those are two things you might want to think about.
There you go. Moist cake. That's important. And good icing. All right. That's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Michael's our guy. Let him become yours. All right. To the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Philip?
Philip, good morning.
Good morning. Well, I was wondering, if we lose that game Friday night, can I take a gallon of household vinegar and just start chugging?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
And clean your stomach out. It cleans everything else.
Yeah. Put a little honey in.
Yeah. Well, huge game Friday night. Y'all were talking about this a minute ago, and it's a mighty big game. I mean, it's big for the Boers program, and just a huge game. But the biggest thing to me about it is it would enable Alabama to get a lot of goodwill for the short term, because they'd be going to the Rose Bowl with a chance to play Indiana up there and beat them and shut some people up. And we can play the little game, would you rather? I wouldn't want Alabama to play in Bloomington, Indiana Friday night, because the weather's going to be horrible. I'd almost rather Alabama's play in Indiana this coming Friday.
You thought Alabama was going to lose four games at the beginning of the season, which you're pretty close. They're 10-3. Yeah. And I don't know if your four included the championship game or not. But when you said this is a big game for Coach DeBoer, I mean, not that he's going to lose his job, obviously. If they can win this game, though, they stay in the spotlight, which always helps recruiting. It helps them maybe go get the guy they want in the portal that they need. If they lose it and play really very poorly offensively, there's going to be a lot of negativity. Right or wrong, I'm not saying it's right, a lot of negativity around how they finished and how this offense played that could maybe make them lose some guys as well, maybe push a couple guys to the portal. So I think it's a big game, Phillip. kind of like we talked mm-hmm. about.
It is, and I think it's a big game for Ryan Grubb. A really, really big game. You know, at a school like the University of Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee and things like that, the offensive coordinator, he's almost as well-known as the head coach. And you guys know, and I know from following all these years, if those guys don't produce, they can be shown the door. I don't care how tight they are to the head coach or how well-loved they are. We need to have a good game. He needs to have a good game Friday night. That's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's just not people picking at you. Yeah. People picking at you. If you got kids and you're in a small town, it starts to take its toll on y'all, the negativity that people bring at mm-hmm. you. And I'm not even saying it's deserved, and he's comfortable in his skin, but it gets old after a while, you know. And when you're in Tuscaloosa, if you're in Seattle, Washington, then a lot of people don't even know who the offensive coordinator is. But here, you're right, your popularity can be great, but it also can be a negative at times as well, so...
Yeah. It sure can. Well, I know
they changed from taking him in the box to the field, mm-hmm. which was a little bit of a difference. Maybe getting the alignments a little bit better because the alignments were so slow to set that they'd be 2 or 3 seconds before they snapped the ball left on the play clock. So we'll see if that helps a little bit.
Sure hope so. That'd be nice.
It hadn't helped so far. He's been down there since
just one game I saw.
I think he was down there starting Eastern Illinois, then Auburn, then he was down there for Georgia. Georgia. Okay. So thank you, Phillip.
All right, you guys, I guess you'll be picking the score. Will you pick it Friday or Thursday?
Pick it tomorrow. We'll pick it Friday. Game's Friday. We'll pick it Friday. Thank you. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Barry, good morning. Good morning, Coach. How are y'all?
Hey.
Or should I call you Sheriff?
I don't like Sheriff. I just kind of go along with that. Oh. But I don't really like that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right, well, I'll let Gary call you Sheriff, then I'll call you Tom.
Well, I mean, I'm not arguing with it, but I don't like it.
Okay. What you got, Tom?
Well, I was going to say to Coach Grubb, I got some advice for you. I've seen this work in the past. You can avoid negativity by winning. Just take care of that part. And then... Coach DeBoer, I've got some advice.
I don't know. Now, Alabama fans want you to win. Want you to win in a certain way, Tom.
Okay, well, that's fine, too. Do that. And but Coach DeBoer, let me tell you something. There is no such thing as a small game at Alabama. Every game is huge. Every game. I mean, you can go through there and, oh, we lost three, but we made the playoffs. That's not very good. Just win the game. Ask Coach Sullivan. Had the best quote of anybody ever in the history. If you don't think it's a big game, just lose it. See?
Yeah. So, has this been a successful season, Tom? They're in the playoffs. Only 12 teams can win the championship. They made it to Atlanta. They were the number one seed. They didn't play well there. We'll chalk it up to injuries. Has this been a successful season to you?
Made the playoffs. Answer is yes. And we didn't make them last year, but we made them this year. Limped into the playoffs. Don't like that. And lost three games. Don't like that. But I'm going to go along with everybody and build on the positive and say it was successful compared to last year.
Now, could this game change your opinion?
Yes, very much, very much. If we go out there and play against Oklahoma like we did Georgia or like we did Oklahoma before,
oof,
I'm going to be very disappointed. But here's another thing. If we eliminate the mistakes in the Georgia game, it's a much more competitive game, and we feel better about the team given all the injuries and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If we eliminate the mistake, if we don't drop passes in the end zone that should have been caught, we got a different idea about this team. It pissed people off that we lost like we did against Georgia. I don't care what you say. You say, oh, well, you make excuses for them. But the fact of the matter is we lost in a sorry way. The game we lost against Oklahoma and Tuscaloosa, it was ridiculous to lose that game the way we did. Now, going forward, here's what you got to do. Go to Norman, eliminate the mistakes, eliminate the turnovers, and you win going away.
Yeah, well, we'll see. That's why they play it. I'm worried about it, Tom. I'm worried about it, to be honest with you. I hope I'm wrong.
Because this team's hard to figure out. I can't figure them out. And those drop passes against Georgia were unnerving to me.
Yeah.
Give us the atmosphere of athletics this day and time. I know two of them should have been caught.
Thank you, Tom.
See ya.
All right, Dad, this next call, I think he's had a rough week. Do you think Cowboy was excited when Coach DeBoer said he was staying? You think that upset him, Dad? Hello? Chase, did we lose him? I guess we lost him. All right, are you there? What's up, Cowboy?
I'm here.
Griff, yeah, you're on. I can't find him though.
Oh, okay. Maybe. I was going to tell y'all a little story here.
Okay.
Coach, you're going to like this one, probably. When I was in high school, at Berry High School in Birmingham, Hoover there at the time, we had a basketball ninth grade coach, Larry Gingrosa, I think he became the UAB baseball coach and all that kind of stuff at one point in time. But Murray Bartow went to my high school, and he graduated there in 1980. But I knew Murray and all this kind of stuff. But and this was about the time of the Ennis Watley recruiting and all that started getting going. And I got nicknamed by Coach Gino for a little while, Wimp, like your name, because I was such an avid Alabama fan, and I said, there's no way Ennis Watley's going to UAB or Buck Johnson or any of that stuff. I used to get fired up about it, Coach. I've been meaning to tell you this story forever, but never have. But I was talking to some friend of mine, and they said, well, you tell it to him on the air. So I used to get called Wimp because I was such an Alabama basketball fan and loyalist about Alabama, and we wasn't losing any recruit to UAB, and I couldn't stand UAB basketball and all that good stuff. So I just wanted to tell you that story there a little bit.
Well, I'm good. I'm glad you said that. I appreciate it. I don't think that, and I'm not, I got to say this in the right way, you'll think I'm bragging or something, but you don't know how difficult it was behind the scenes to get done what we beat them on all. We beat them on Watley. We beat them on all of them. It's the only one player we lost that he went to Louisville. And our alums, helped us a lot. They went in for me a lot, and I stayed there at their house night and day, just about all of them. But it was a trying time because Gene Bartow had the name and I didn't, and that made quite a difference. But anyway, I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, well, my father helped some people through some alumni in Birmingham, helped with some stuff for Coach Moore's house. I remember. I don't get into all that, but I know, you know. So, but boy, they used to. Oh, Murray Bartow. Ah. And then they were trying to help the Hawaii coach get Bobby Lee Hurt to go to.
Well, sure they did. Yeah, because they couldn't get him.
Then Murray used to come back up to the high school the year after he graduated. Well, and,
Yeah.
I was at that game when they beat Kentucky Memorial Coliseum because we had season tickets, and you could buy that NCAA tournament deal through your ticket package at Alabama, and Bartow and them sitting down there in that gym. Boy, it bothered me.
They did that. So they felt like they didn't have a shot on the guy that we were in with. They wanted him out of there because they certainly didn't want us getting anybody in.
Yeah.
It was a pretty nasty thing. If you want me to be honest with you, that's the reason CM Newton left. He was scared.
yeah. But hey, Coach, you fought him tooth and nail. I loved it. Man, I was I used to go at it with him, Coach. You just in the gymnasium sitting there, boy, we used to get into it, and I'd get riled up. We're not losing nobody to UAB. Oh, I was the only guy in the high school who couldn't stand UAB, you know. I didn't really like them until I moved out here to Dallas, and then I kind of it eased up on me. I've watched them play basketball out here and football, but they don't bother me anymore. They're harmless. But, boy, back in that day when that Sun Belt was going on, that was tough. But that was good basketball. Well, I'm not going to talk about Alabama-Oklahoma, Barry. I thought that was a better story to tell. So whatever happens in Norman happens.
I just thought you were a little disappointed this week that Coach DeBoer said he was staying and thought that probably put you in a bad mood.
Man, I don't care. I'm glad they hired Derek Nix. I think, I met Derek and his brother out here when they were with Ole Miss in the Cotton Bowl in 2009. His brother's hilarious. He was defensive coordinator at Ole Miss with Tracy Rocker and them. Houston Nutt. Maybe get Houston on. He can talk about Derek Nix, Coach. I like to hire Derek Nix. You know, he's from Alabama. He played as a Tala. And, he had a kidney deal his last year at Southern Miss that almost took his life when he was playing football and lost a bunch of weight and came back and everything. And, he's had a good coaching career. And I think he'll help in the state recruiting-wise.
I think it's good. All right, Cowboy. Thank you, sir.
All right, we got South Florida tonight, right?
Yep, Brian Hodgson's coming in.
They pretty good?
They're like 6-4, but every game they've lost has been tight, so we'll see. Thank you, Cowboy. I had a guy send me a text. I won't tell you who. I'm not reporting this as fact, but we'll see if it happens. Skip Holt stepped down from the Stallions. The Stallions, right? Stallions? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know who he says the new head coach is going to be?
Not the Alabama coach.
A.J. McCarron. All right, we'll take this break. A.J. McCarron, he's saying he's going to be the new coach. So we'll see if that happens.
He'll be better off doing that than he will running ball.
I think he dropped out of that. Just the Tide.
He dropped out of that, Barry?
Yeah, I think. Well, supposedly he did, maybe because he's going to be the coach, if that's true. It's radio. You just make it up, Chase. You listen to Tide 100.9, 12:30 a.m. WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We're moving about on these Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets. And traffic on Skyland Boulevard has a usual on and off the brakes action between McFarland and 69. 69 north and southbound onto Skyland Boulevard. You'll slow up just a bit, but that's just intersections.
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, co@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up today, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 59. Becoming cloudy tonight, the chance of a shower after midnight, the low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy, occasional showers are likely, possibly a thunderstorm during the day, the high 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 34 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Back to Inside the Locker Room. Tomorrow, Friday, we'll do the Blue Plate Special, brought to you by Brian Harden Construction. You need precision, power, performance. Brian Harden Construction has been delivering top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. 205-759-1337. Go to bhardenconst.com. About a couple of weeks, it's going to be a sad day for me, Chase, and Dad. You know how Jason lost that bet to me last year about Ole Miss? He's quickly reminding me that the year is coming up. He's been cutting my grass for a year for free, and it's about to go away. He was scared to bet me again, but But he's done a great job. He's earned my business. I'm going to give him my business. But if you need lawn care, you need some popcorn. This sucker got some good popcorn as well. I need to help him sell some of that. 205-535-5290. But I hate the fact that he's not going to be able to cut my grass for free anymore. But because, I mean, he got his butt kicked, Chase, just to be quite honest with you. All right, Dad, that's it for today's show. Tomorrow, I know Gary had him on. We're going to have the great Tommy Wilcox will be on with us tomorrow. So look forward to visiting with Tommy. Not only about his song, but Tommy was one of my heroes growing up when he played football in Alabama. They had the tearaway jerseys, and he would knock your block off. Golly. So Tommy was a good player. Great player. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.